Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Our scripture lessons are from Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 18. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6. That's a typo on the screen, but it's Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6. And the gospel according to Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 33. Today's message is titled, Strong to Save. Job chapter 38, and this is towards the end of all the problems Job has faced. God has now come upon the scene. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, This far you may come and no farther. Here's where your proud wave halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning? Or shown the dawn its place? That it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Here ends our reading from Job, Psalm 18, beginning at verse 1. And this note is included with the psalm. For the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangle me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Here ends the reading from Psalm. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray that prayer from Martin Luther. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help, for you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. When I was a kid, I loved summer. Not that there was no school, that I did enjoy that, but summer brought more freedom and to roam and play and have fun all day. That fun oftentimes included water. Water was involved. I just loved to play in the water. As a young child, I remember the plastic swimming pool and the long sprinkler set out in the front yard over there in Page Manor. In Bowie, my parents were wonderful in getting the pool membership. At that time, a pool membership was not easy to get. It was Levette's, the builder of Bowie. It was Levette's way of keeping the number in the pool manageable. And Levette built wonderful pools. They were in that Z configuration with a true deep end for the high dive boards. A pool that was built to play in. Not like Springfield building the splash zone. There's very little room to just simply play in that poorly designed pool. The pool in Yellow Springs is better for playing in. In Bowie, we also found streams to play in too. And then there was those special days. Mom would drive us kids over to Ocean City to the beach. It was a 3-hour drive with a van full of kids. Would you do that? My mom did. A van full of kids, finding a parking space for the day. And then there's another 3 hours to drive back home at the end of the day. I do say mothers are wonderful. Summer also meant going to Iowa and Minnesota. And there were more places to play in water. Dunning Springs with that ice cold water. The Upper Iowa River flowed through the town. And a few times with the Iowa friends of my mom's families there, we would swim in the river. And then there was the cut. It was a path that was cut to redirect the dry run. It was a long cement spillway. The water would normally flow in the summertime 3 to 4 inches deep. And it was covered in algae. It was slippery. And we're talking like a 100-yard slide. And it was cool down for the summer. Great fun. And then Decorah had a wonderful pool also for great fun. Yet no summer would be complete without time on the water and in the water at the lakes. There was Otter Tail Lake. Oh, Otter Tail Lake at my grandparents' place. Get up in the morning, put the swimsuit on, and live in the swimsuit all day. Day in, day out. And it was Otter Tail that I learned to water ski. I was 8 years old. And my uncle had brought his boat over from Clearwater Lake. And the first time up in the skis, I got up the first time. Went a little distance, and then I fell. And then I went under the water. No one told me you're supposed to let go of the rope when you fall. Well, I eventually let go of the rope and I came back up and I was not deterred. Again, I tried and success. There was Horseshoe Lake, swimming and boating there. Gull Lake. Oh, Gull Lake was more fun. It was at Gull Lake where I learned to slalom ski, and that was by dropping a ski. My uncle and aunt, oh, they were so kind and so patient teaching us, their nieces and nephews. Trips to Padre Island down into the Gulf of Mexico as a young child when there was basically no development on Padre Island, and now it's built up completely. But Padre Island is an adult. It entailed one of my craziest adventures on the water. My uncle has a place on the Roya, Arroyo is a part of that intercoastal waterway, and he had a couple of really nice jet skis to enjoy. So I said, let's go over to the Gulf. Let's take him into the Gulf and ride the waves in the Gulf. And we did it. And the trip down the waterway was pretty easy. The waterway's narrow, but then you turn right, and then you have a big expanse of water, that water that separates South Padre Island from the Texas coast. I mean, it's a big expanse of water. You go across that. Where are we going? See that over there? Just aim for that. And we're going, but the wind was coming towards us. And so the waves only being about 2 feet high, it really just buffeted those jet skis. And it was a long haul. My cousin was behind my uncle. My younger brother was behind me. Boom, boom, boom. On and on we go. And then we came down to the point where you run around South Padre Island into the Gulf, through the opening there and the jetty way and all that. And boy, oh, once you hit that part, it was like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? That pass around South Padre into the waves through that narrow jetty grew to be monsters. And I mean monsters. It's like, I mean, you'd go up, you had to give enough power to get over the top, but you didn't want to give too much power to launch yourself out of the water. I mean, I was terrified. Around the corner, we finally made it up and over those monstrous waves. It must have been 10 feet high, but on a jet ski, it felt even like 20, 30 feet high. Into the Gulf, we went up to the beach, dropped one of the riders off behind us, out into the water, and just started riding the waves. And I was going, what was I thinking? It looks like fun on TV, but I can tell you in person, it's terrifying. And so we were there for about a half hour, 40 minutes or so. We picked up the riders, and then we had to do that back through the jetty again. And then those waves, oh my goodness. It's hard to describe. You're going up to wave, and you're then going up and almost, you're like a 45-degree angle, it felt like, going up and over that wave. And then we had to pull in a gas station. Yes, we had to fill the jet skis up with gas before we went back and aimed. Okay, where are we going? See that way over there? 2 or 3 miles across the open water. However, this time, we were going with the wind. And with the wind, we're riding from wave top to wave top to wave top, and boy, we just opened those things up. 50 to 60 miles an hour. We were just flying. The trip home was a lot more fun than the trip going. We were gone about 6 hours. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, just think about that. Totally insane, but it was memorable. And through the years, I've learned to respect the power of water. Always wear a life jacket appropriate to the activity. Always. Doesn't matter how good a swimming you are. Accidents can happen. Things can happen. I mean, you wear a life jacket for the activity of the water. And I mean, we'd go to Bethany Beach there in Delaware, and you can see the picture of Marissa. She was, anytime you're down near the water, you need your life jacket on. Waves can knock you over just like that. I mean, so Marissa, wear your life jacket. And she spent more time running away from the waves than actually in the waves. Aria, we put her life jacket on her anytime we took her into the waves. Because even as an adult, if I get knocked over, that can happen just like that. Aria needs her life jacket on for the just in case. I mean, the respect, the power of water. Do you respect the power of water? Have you felt the power of rip currents? I have. Have you felt the power of water overflowing the stream? I felt the power of that too. 6 inches deep of water moving fast, it can nudge a car. 1 foot of water moving fast can float a car. 2 feet of water will carry SUVs and trucks away. It's not safe to go into water. You don't know how deep it is or how fast it is. Water is powerful. How many of you remember those images of 2011? And the tsunami that hit Japan, it was devastating to watch that tsunami. It just broke over those shore breaks, and it was just a wall of water inland. And it just took the buildings down. It engulfed the city. It bulldozed everything. And then imagine yourself sailing across the ocean, those great expanses of water where for months, yes, months, you would have no sight of land in your eyes. The age of sail and the age of tall ships with this masts and those massive sails on those massive masts. I mean, a sight to see. I mean, Columbus, Magellan, Drake, and the pilgrims. and also the ships that possibly carried your ancestors to these shores. Their journeys across the ocean waves, waves which sent many a ship down to the depths, the power of water. Job 38, beginning of verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand." And then jumping down to verse 8, "Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds in its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here's where your proud waves halt.'" Did you see the news of the flooding of Yellowstone last summer and Gardner River? I mean, it was just a few short hours. The great devastation and destruction these did. The power of water. And in our gospel, we heard seasoned fishermen, a few of them they were. The others, Galileans, they grew up next to the water and more likely traveled on the water very often. Sometimes it was the quickest way and easiest way. Go across the water in boat, then walk around the shore to go from city to city. Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000. Wondrous, miraculous moment that the disciples just experienced, of which I spoke about last Sunday. After picking up the 12 basketful of leftovers we have in the Greek, kaiathous. And immediately Jesus compelled. Yes, the word is compelled. Jesus immediately compelled the disciples to get into the boat and leave without him. Go. Right now, get into the boat and go. Then Jesus turned and dismissed the crowds. And after the disciples had left, the crowds had left, finally Jesus would get his time alone in the wilderness. He went up into the mountains to pray as night was arriving. Jesus prayed on into the darkness of night as the disciples in the boat were farther and further from shore. They sailed into that darkness of night. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. Compare it to Lake Erie, which is 210 miles long, 57 miles wide. Or Grand Lake St. Mary, which is 8 miles long, 3 miles wide. The disciples are far from shore in the darkness of night, being tossed by the waves. The Greek word translated as tossed, its definition is to torture. Yes, to torture. That's the definition. And with that is the connotation of to examine literally by torture. I'm going to find out what's in you. I'm going to torture you to find out what's in you. That's the mention of this word tossed. So they're being tortured, they're being examined. So this is the condition of the boat, or rather, it's the examining of the disciples by their response to what is happening. Matthew 14, beginning of verse 23. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside to pray by himself, and that he is Jesus. When evening came, Jesus was there alone, but the boat was already considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Because the wind was against it. The wind is set against the boat. Now we can watch wind, and moving over water, winds pick up the waves. I mean, there's this phenomena of Lake Erie. It has a word like sishi. I don't know if I said that right or not. But the wind driving the right direction across Lake Erie can actually tilt the whole lake. It will drop the one end of the lake several feet and raise the other end of the lake several feet. I mean, it literally just tilts the lake as the wind drives the water in front of it. That Greek word tossed, its definition is to torture. And now you have this wind blowing against them. And so the winds were driving against them, driving the water to raise up buffeting waves. And this is what's happening to the boat in the middle of the sea. How will they respond to this moment? Remember what the disciples had just experienced. In their hands and with their eyes, they experienced 5 loaves and 2 fish feed the multitude with leftovers. Jesus had called them to be his 12. Will this tormenting moment, buffeted by the waves, destroy them, or will they have faith? A moment, an opportunity to grow in faith, knowing it will be all right, for the Lord's will be fulfilled. The sovereignty of the Lord God who reigns. Will the disciples have faith in this moment? And will you have faith in these kind of moments in your life when you feel that tumultuous moment coming upon you? Will the faith be resilient in the storms of life? Fourth watch. Jesus comes walking towards them. Fourth watch by the Roman army reckoning is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So in the middle of that watch, towards the end of the watch, it's that as the early light of the morning was rising, Jesus comes walking towards them. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. This morning, yes, today, August 13th, dawn will be, or was, 5:33 a.m. on the Sea of Galilee. That's this early morning light of the fourth watch in the Sea of Galilee this morning. And that's when Jesus comes walking towards the disciples. The disciples being buffeted and tested in the boat. Seeing Jesus, they were troubled. The Greek word meaning is a causing inner perplexity. Inner perplexity. An emotional agitation inside. They got stirred up inside. And oftentimes this feeling is translated as terrified. This stirring up inside. They're terrified. They're in the middle of the water, in the middle of the night, and they see someone walking towards them on the water. That would be frightening enough. In and out of itself, if the water was calm, but you add in now the tumultuous water, wind-driven waves, and you go, it's a ghost. I mean, what would your mind, if someone's walking on the water, it's a ghost. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking in the water, they were terrified, it's a ghost. They said and cried out in fear. Really what happened is these grown men shrieked out in terror as like little children. They were terrified, scared stiff, petrified. Try to put yourself in their sandals in a ship tossed by the sea and see a person walking towards you. Matthew 14, verse 27. Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Immediately Jesus answers their fears, their fear-filled shrieks. And he answers with, be filled with courage. And Jesus gave them the reason why to be filled with courage. Because that sentence in the Greek begins with, ego eime. Ego eime. And that is, I am. Let that sink in. Jesus answers them, I am. Take courage. I am here. Don't be afraid. Take courage. The way it's phrased, it's the very presence of God is here. Don't be afraid. Courage, the Greek means in the New Testament usage, is this God-infused courage in a believer. Filling and empowering with this bold inner attitude. It will be all right because the Lord is God. This flows from the in working of faith that is infused with the Lord's strength. It's like David standing before Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's like Peter proclaiming before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4. It is like Paul in his many journeys when he has to proclaim Christ. And in you too, this is present in you, this courage born of faith that you are filled with. Matthew 14, beginning of verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Peter basically begins a conversation. He shouts above the waves. This is the Greek word order. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you upon the waters." If, that conditional conjunction. Peter wanted proof that it was the Lord. If you are the Lord, command me to come to you upon the waters. "Come," came the reply. Okay, now what would you do? This is what Peter did. Peter responds and he climbs out of the boat into those swelling, swirling waters and was walking towards Jesus. And in the Greek words here, as Peter is walking towards Jesus, the image given is that the winds took notice of Peter walking towards Jesus. And the winds decided to thwart him getting closer to Jesus. So they started blowing ever stronger. That's sort of the nuances of the Greek there. The wind takes notice of Peter walking towards Jesus and says, "We're going to get Peter and we're going to huff and pluff and blow him down." Sort of like the big bag wolf saying to the pigs, "We're going to get him." And so the wind just comes up more and more, even in its overcoming combative strength. A mighty wind engaging in a combative strength battle to knock Peter down. And as these winds came up, Peter is causing fear, start to come overcome Peter. And now Peter's being thrown down into the sea. It's not like a simple sinking. Each step goes deeper and deeper into the water. It's more like in one moment he's walking on the water, and the next moment he's treading the water for fear of his life, trying in all his strength to keep his head above the water. I mean, that moment, I mean, just a change, walking on the water, and then all of a sudden, he's treading the water, trying to keep his head above the waves. That moment of fear brings an immediate tossing into the sea and the reality of drowning. Even the best of swimmers in the storm-tossed waves, without flotation devices, anything to hold on to, they will drown. This seasoned fisherman, in the moment, felt the doom of drowning. He cries out, "Lord, save me! Save me!" Peter doesn't cry to the disciples in the boat, "Come get me! Come save me!" He cries to the only one who can save him, Jesus. Jesus is the one that we all are to cry out to. Save us! Save me! The Greek word for save is sozo, sozo. And sozo, from the Helps Word Study, is the root of soter. Soter means savior. And sozo is also the root of soteria, soteria, which means salvation. Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus responds. He stretches out his hand and takes hold of Peter. "Of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter, you were walking on the water at my command. Why did you waver? Why did you waver in doubt?" Wavering in doubt. Know that the Lord is strong to save. The strength of Jesus to lift Peter up and then walk back to the boat and get in. The Lord is strong to save. As Jesus and Peter get into the boat, ceased the wind. Ceased the wind. This is another moment of a miracle. The wind that was striving and trying to strike a blow has now received a blow itself and stricken. Yes, that's the meaning of the Greek word here. You're being struck so hard, it seriously weakens and debilitates. The winds that were buffeting and pushing and striking against Peter and the boat and all that has now been struck by the power of the living God. And it has now been weakened, it's debilitated, striking, the tormenting the winds and waves. The test was being brought to a close by Jesus showing He is strong to save. The winds ceased, and it was calm. Jesus, strong to save. So really put this in mind. In less than 24 hours, the disciples were witnesses and participants in seeing Jesus healing the sick all day, being part of feeding miraculously with 5 loaves and 2 fish the 5,000 or more in that crowd, and leftovers filling 12 baskets, in a boat tormented by the wind-driven waves buffeting them, seeing Jesus walking on the water, Peter walking on the water, and the wind suddenly ceasing and all becoming calm. All of this with less than 24 hours. Only explanation. You have now witnessed the sovereignty of the living God over all creation, just as expressed in Job chapter 38. And this one in the boat is the living God. All in the boat, they fell down and worshiped Jesus. Matthew 14, verse 33. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Jesus is strong to save. As those mighty carpenter's arms lifted Peter up out of the waves, and those very same arms were stretched out on a cross to save. Jesus is the crucified and risen Lord, and indeed is strong to save your soul. Amen and amen.